All right, folks, welcome back to this American History program of History at Our House for the Elementary Class. Today's lecture is entitled The Idea of Western Planting. So if that sounds rather strange and confusing to you, have no fear, we will learn and understand what is meant by Western planting today for sure. So, what we talked about yesterday was starting to flex our prediction muscles. And those muscles that we have, and we don't know that we have them, but they're in our brain, and it allows us, they are a capability that we have to think historically. And that capability to be able to think historically means that we can look at the past and see far, far back. And then, because we can do that, thanks to history, what do we develop the ability to do? Which seems kind of the opposite. But here, this is where the payoff comes. This is where something interesting starts to happen. The further back we see, does anybody remember how that goes? The further back we can see, said Winston Churchill, what can we do? Abby?
The further forward we can look.
The further forward we can look. Right, exactly. So here we have it, right, Mr. Winston Churchill? The farther back you can look, the farther forward you can see. Okay, so that's what we're going to try to learn to do over the course of the year, is not just study the things that we are learning happening at different times. We will always do that in history, but we will always also try to use the information that we encounter in order to think of what we expect to see, in order to become people who expect that the events that are occurring lead to a future, and that that future makes sense because it's a part of the present. Okay, so Abby says she's having sound issues. Quick confirmation. Raise your hand if you can't hear me. That was maybe a silly joke. Okay, all right, sound is back. All right, let's keep going. The sound is back. Okay, so, and why does this happen? Why are we able to do this? Well, because, as Thucydides said, the future will resemble or reflect the past. Quick review, what do those two things mean? What's resemble and what's reflect? Each one of those. Caleb, go ahead.
Resemble is... it looks a lot like something, but not exactly like it.
Okay, good. An important word there would be similar. Okay, and then reflect would be what?
Reflect, it would be looking in a mirror, an exact mirror image.
Yeah, there we go, an exact image, the same. Okay, good. So the future is going to be similar to the past or the same. Okay, so we have already started learning to be predictors. You might not remember this particular example, but here's an example of us having already been predictors. I asked you the question, okay? We were talking about early European history, and I said, well, what kind of government were the Europeans going to have after they ruined the Roman Empire? What would the different tribes of Europe do? And if you notice, what I was asking you there was to be a predictor. And, well, I would not ask you to give me a guess without having the necessary information. So I gave you the necessary information. The information is called anchor facts. So, what was the prediction? And what was it based on? What did we know that allowed us to become predictors? It's right on his timeline here. What did the Europeans have? What were Isabella and Ferdinand and Henry VIII and so on and so forth? What were these people? Rosetta.
They were monarchies, kings, and screens.
Okay. And what anchor fact allowed us or helped us to know and make a good prediction about this?
That is not armor.
That is not armor. And others, too. Now, that's the best one, Rosetta, so you're right. Because ever since 3000 BC, all we see is kings. Except for a couple brilliant societies that developed some better ideas, but those had disappeared. All right, good. So see, now, anchor facts are one of the things that allow us to be predictors. Okay, so, good. But we're learning more now, right? So let's keep going with this, developing this capability. Let's talk about things after 1492, right? When Columbus discovered America, this was also part of your test here, so good review there. What did the King and Queen of Spain want him to do when he found America in 1492? What did, he went back to them, and what did they say? What was their main thing they wanted him to do? Dana?
Go find gold.
Nope. Nice try. That was, I would put that down on the list about second or third. Depends on, you know, I'm not sure, but I would put that second. So no, that was not their main priority. Sigourney?
Get to China.
Keep going. Right. Get to China. That was the mission. Okay, so they said, don't stop there. We're not interested in those primitive natives. Unless, okay, they have some gold, but that's not that important. What's important is getting to China because we want to trade. Where were the, when Christopher Columbus discovered America, the Portuguese didn't say, oh, let's stop going around Africa now because America's over there. No, they said, we better hurry up and get around Africa because we want to get to Asia. And that was the big mission, getting around, getting to Asia, right? So remember this map here? This was a cool map, right, that we looked at. This is a map that showed us what the Europeans thought after Christopher Columbus and after a few of the other explorers of America. And what it shows us, remember what it showed us here? What's this over here? Why was this here? Why is there a big MTC over here instead of Quebec and the Northwest Territories of Canada and everything? Why are these holes here? Jeremy, those are what? You said it. Oh, you don't want to contribute? Okay. Abby, go ahead.
That was something they imagined because they wanted America to be really small and to have holes in it so they could get around it to Asia.
Yeah, right. Jeremy wrote that they were gaps there because they wanted to get to Asia. So here's kind of us getting into a prediction mode again. So Columbus discovers America in 1492. We have these other discoveries. We have this other map that reminds us of how this all went. Okay, here's what was going on. Columbus, 1492. Cabot, 1497. Right? And then, all right, so if all of this stuff is getting to be more and more known, well, but the Europeans are looking at it as an obstacle. How long before the Europeans are going to start living in America? Are they going to start living there? Let me put it this way. You know, when are they going to start living in America if they look at it as an obstacle? What did Magellan do? Did he go live in America? No. Go. Asia. What were these guys all trying to do? What Drake here over here, what's he trying to do? Is he going to America? No. So when are they going to start going to America? Just going there. Doing something different. Abby?
They are going to start going there when they finally stop trying to get to Asia.
Oh, wow, that's a really great prediction. Or you're on the right track there, Abby. Well put. So that's the kind of thought. Okay, they're going to start coming to America when, well, they start thinking differently. Right? If they're looking at America and they see a big obstacle, are they going to come here? Is that where you want to live? On an obstacle? No, right? That's not how we think of ourselves when we go live in a place. We don't go live in obstacles. We go live in places that have something good to offer us, that we think of a place to live as an end point, not as an obstacle to getting somewhere else. So they're going to have to start thinking of America as a place to go. But why? Why would they do that? That's the tricky part, right? Why would they start thinking differently? Abby?
Because they want to go live somewhere else.
Maybe, right? So this is what we have to become now. We know. All right, here, let me ask that tough question again. Because remember, yesterday I was trying to ask a question and it didn't work all that well. But we know they're going to come to America. Don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Patrick says yes. How do we know that, Patrick? We know they're going to come to America. How do we know that? All right, this is where, again, I'm trying to ask the question in a certain way. Right? How do we know that? Of course we know that. Wyatt?
Because we are living in America. We are Americans.
Yeah, that was good. You guys almost answered.
You're going to.
Yes, all right. So you were going to answer at the same time. I thought you had planned that out. All right. So, yeah, because we're already here. This is the future. We can look back at the past and we know what the future is going to be for those people. Right? This is what I was getting at yesterday was we get to be very powerful predictors of history when we look at the past because we're already living in the future. So we know what's coming next. So this is neat. We get to work those prediction muscles on kind of easy problems. And then gradually, when the more history we learn and we grow up to be really knowledgeable adults, educated adults, we have a capability of understanding the world and predicting where it's going, even though it's into the future. That we're never going to be able to see that looking back, but we can still know it because we've developed our prediction muscles so well. So we look back on America and we know to expect what Abby said. Somebody's going to change their minds or somebody's going to change their mind. They're going to stop looking at America as an obstacle. They're going to start looking at America as a place to stay. Now, look on this map. Here's a nice puzzle. Look on this map and tell me after when. Give me a guess as to when we can expect this change of mindset to happen. When are they going to start looking at America as a place to go? Not before when. Can you guys guess? What does this tell us? Was Magellan looking at America as a place to go? Do you understand the map, Patrick? The red line starts in Europe,
mm-hmm.
And it shows you, maybe it should have arrows on there. It shows you the voyage that he took. Did he go to America?
No.
What did he do? He went...
Around.
And past. Okay, around and past. Okay, can anybody say somebody else that went around and past?
Mm.
Who else went around and past? Okay, Patrick?
Drake?
Drake! What year?
1577 to 1580.
Good. He went around and past. So, is this a time when people are thinking of going to America yet?
No.
No. So, we're going to be waiting here. Look at this one over here. Does anybody know what's going on here? What Frobisher is doing in 1576? Does anybody know what's going on there? Why is he going up to that really, really frozen part of Canada?
Maybe he either found it or is going there.
Well, it could be just a discovery, but not quite. Dana?
Trying to go over?
Trying to go over top. Yeah, the search for northern passages, that was called. The search for northern passages. So he's still trying to go over top, but you can't do it. Why can't you do it? There is water there, right? But what's the problem with the water there? Anybody know? Way up here? It's water, but there's a problem with it. Sigourney?
It's frozen.
It's frozen. It's ice. So nowadays, we have nuclear-powered icebreaker ships. Incredibly powerful ships with hulls that have 1 meter thick steel hulls and nuclear-powered engines. That's what it takes to break through the ice. Yeah. So, man, it's not easy to do. So believe me, they weren't able to do it back then. So, they're still over here looking for a place to get around, to go over top. In fact, in 1576, one of the explorers, Sir Humphrey Gilbert, he wrote an important, it's called a discourse, which just means an essay. An essay about the discovery foray. Look what he's focused on. 1776, what's important to him? It's right there in the title. What's important to him, Patrick?
A new passage to Cathay.
Cathay is
important.
China is important to him. Does it say how wonderful America will be if we go live there? No, it doesn't say that. It says this is 1576. We don't want to go to America. We want to get around that place. What little did they know, huh? They didn't get it. They didn't know how great it was going to be. Well, that's okay. We can't really blame them. There wasn't really a reason for them to be excited yet. Until in 1584, somebody named Richard Hakluyt wrote a different essay. And the essay was called A Discourse on Western Planting. There is our title, right? Today we're talking about the idea of Western planting. So what the heck was he talking about? His idea is change. It's a new idea, right? It doesn't say anything about going to Cathay. It doesn't say anything about Sapangu or India. What's he saying? Western. Who gave us that whole idea of going west again? Okay, Columbus. All right, so we're going to go west. And when we go west, we're going to plant. Plant what?
I was thinking that they're going to start from scratch again and make a new world out of
America. Oh, well, that's a great prediction. But planting means what here, Nemo?
Something like that.
Tobacco.
Good guess, right? Normally when we hear the word planting, we think plants. But no, he's not talking about plants. He's talking about planting people. So what does that mean? Planting people. Well, it has to do with all of these ideas here that I started to introduce you to the other day. The idea of something called a colony. A colony was a place where you wouldn't plant, well, you would have to plant food, right? But you also would plant people. So this is our important idea of the day. We're not going to get people in America until somebody's going to give people in Europe a reason to go plant themselves somewhere else. Now, it's kind of funny, right? Because when we think of a plant, I like this word. Because when we think of a plant, what's the difference between an animal and a plant? Now, that could be a really complicated science question. We would need Nemo to help us with that one. But, you know, just in general, what's obviously different between animals and plants? What can animals do that plants can't? Or, you know, what do we see about plants, right, that's kind of more limited? Rosetta?
Animals can walk and plants can't walk.
Yeah, animals can move, Right. Or we call that locomotion. All right. So animals can move. Loco means place, right? Place motion. They have place motion. But plants don't. Plants are stuck in a certain place. Well, isn't it funny, though, because Europeans were stuck in a certain place, too, weren't they? I mean, yeah, they could move around inside of their village. They could move around, but they were always stuck inside of Europe. They didn't have a place to go. So in a way, they were planted there. So what Richard Hakluyt was saying was, let's go plant some people elsewhere. They weren't used to moving around, but, you know, let's go plant people in a new place. And that's going to be a colony. So what is that place going to be? All right, so I'm going to bring a definition up on here, and we'll talk about what a colony is. Interesting idea. Okay? So, Nemo, why don't you read that for us, and we'll talk about this now.
A distant territory that people from a home country settle and bring under the control of a home country.
Okay, so a few different parts to that definition. Nemo, did you want to say something else there? Oh, I see your hands going up. Okay, so a few different parts to this idea of a colony. Colony is a distant territory, so it's far away from where you're normally living. And so you take people and they leave their home country. And what do? When they go to that distant territory, what do they do? Abby?
They settle. In other words, they form a village, build houses, plant food.
Exactly. Or, in the language that Richard Hakluyt is using, they plant themselves. Right? Because when you have a house, it's like you're planted there, right? I mean, that's the place where you live. And all of your activities happen there. It becomes your, well, and a great important word here is home, right? They're going to go create a new home for themselves. All right, so they're going to go settle there. They're going to plant themselves there. And what's the reason why they're going to do that? This is an important fact about a colony. What for? Why would you go plant yourself over there? It says right here is the crucial part. To bring that new territory under the control of your home country. To bring that territory under the control of the home country. So, does anybody know what lady is on the money in Canada and Australia and New Zealand and places like that? Does anybody know who's on the money over there? Nemo would know, of course. Go ahead.
Queen Elizabeth.
A queen of what country?
Britain.
Ah, queen of England, right. And so Canada and New Zealand, Australia are still countries that have a closer relationship. They didn't have a revolution against the King of England. So, yeah, they still have this idea of a very close connection, and even on the money in those countries, even though now they are independent countries, still have this symbol of the fact that they were colonies of England. All right, so, right, these places are going to be part of the new, part of a kind of a bigger version of the country. All right, great, so this is what, right? This is the who, well, okay, the what is the colony. The who, remember how we kind of ask ourselves different questions, are the colonizers and the colonists. So here's two different words, very similar, but they're different kinds of people. So a colonizer is a person like Richard Hakluyt, somebody who makes the plans, somebody who has the ideas, somebody who is organizing the efforts. And who's the colonist? Who are the colonists in the story of colonies? Abby?
One of the people in a group that actually goes and plants themselves?
There you go. Exactly, right. They are the people that actually go to live. And then the process of doing this
is called, yes, Patrick?
Colonization.
Colonization. Remember how we had globalization, right? Zations are processes. So, colonization is like globalization. Going off and creating colonies. Okay, good. So, we have what they're going to do. We have who's going to do it. Why? Why do it? Well, part of the answer is already here. Part of the answer is already here. Right? What's this answer over here? Bring under the control of the home country. What's good about that? Any use to that? Why would you want to do that? Maybe if you go look at England on the map, you might have an idea. Why would you want to go from England over to this place here? Any ideas? Just by looking on the map, you might be able to come up with a good idea. Think size. You've got your country. It's over here. And look at this thing. What good is that, Abby?
It's to get more property, more space, bigger country.
Yeah, more room for people, right? More room for English people. All right, so because, you know, we're over here in Europe, and it's kind of crowded over here. If we just, throw a rock across this channel, well, we're going to hit a Frenchman, and, well, we don't like those guys, right? So there's no room over there. We tried to move over there, and while, 116 years worth of arguing about it, we decided not to do it anymore. 100 years war, right? All right, so there's no room over here. Is there room over here? No, that's Spain and Portugal. Is there room over here? No, that's the Holy Roman Empire. There's no room over here. If we want England to be a bigger country, where are we going to do it? We gotta find a new place, right? We gotta find a distant territory and then go bring that territory under our control. So basically, it will be a part of our country. It'll be like our country just has a bunch of different parts and they're far away from each other, but the colony will be a part of our country. Can anybody think of a reason why you might want to do this if we talk about, for instance, the revolt against the authority of the Pope? How might that be a part of what Richard Hakluyt would be saying to English people? This is a part of the why. We want to have room to live, so we want to have more English people. But if we spread English people all over the place, what is that going to allow to survive as well? Not just the English language, not just English people, but what new thing that's very important to English people ever since Henry VIII? What new thing? Nemo?
Religious freedom.
Ooh, not quite. Not quite. This is a tricky part of the story. This is a tricky part of the story, right? Because people back then did not believe in religious freedom. We have to be clear on that. They did not understand that. They didn't know what it was. So what were they really looking for? Rosetta?
To spread the religion of the English church.
There you go. To spread their kind. Right? They wanted Anglicanism to succeed. They didn't want to tell everybody else around the world, come have your own religion over here in this place that we're going to create. No, we want to control this place. And that means only the kind of Christianity we want is going to be there. Well, we don't have religious freedom yet, so that was part of the thinking, was this, that creating a colony will allow Anglicanism to survive. Because we got a big mess over here in Europe. We're fighting lots of religious wars. Who knows? Maybe the Holy Roman Empire is going to attack us and invade, and we need to protect ourselves and what we stand for as English people. So let's go make colonies, and that will help us to spread our kind of Christianity. All right, so that's going to be an important part of our story, as we'll see. Everybody that comes to America, the Spanish are coming already, right, since Columbus. And the Portuguese are going down to Brazil. What kind of Christianity are they bringing? Pop quiz on the Reformation here. What are the Spanish and the Portuguese bringing to the Americas? Wyatt?
Catholic.
And we know they're Catholic because, all right, okay, stop. Okay, great. I want another question for you. So, why Catholic? What was it about Spain and Portugal that had made them more Catholic than any other Catholics in Europe, basically? How did they really, they were not willing to think of any other possibilities. What was it? Wyatt again?
Yeah, it's me again. What I think is that they are under the Pope's authority, and they actually killed a lot of the Muslims to try to spread Christian.
That's right, the one with the popes. All right, the Reconquista is the one word answer that you're trying for there, Wyatt. Exactly right. You have the right thought. And we'll just say the Reconquista is why, right? Because that was a part of who they were. So, okay, for today, let's get our prediction caps back on. The Spanish and the Portuguese. If you put them together, you get Portuguese. Okay, the Spanish and the Portuguese are bringing Catholic Christianity. And the English are bringing Anglican Christianity. Okay. And, well, so what's starting to happen in the Americas? We're starting to get a set of... We're going to start to get a set of colonies that look a lot like Europe all over again. Can we make some predictions? Abby?
My prediction is that there's going to be fighting and religious wars and a lot of WEFs.
Perfect ending for today's class. A lot of fighting, a lot of religious wars, and a lot of WEFs. You are exactly right. Okay, but religion was not the only reason, and certainly, I would say, not the main reason why people would want to come to America. Richard Hakluyt was writing about Western planting, and he had another reason, which is what we're going to focus on tomorrow, which he considered to be the most important. So I'm just going to tell you what it is, and then I'll let you kind of wonder about why this would be the most important. Okay? So Richard Hakluyt was explaining to the people of England, to the King of England, in his discourse. He's saying, if we go over to America and plant Englishmen over there, they will be able to find and to make things there that will allow us to not have to buy those things from Spanish people, from Portuguese people, from Italians, from Germans, from Frenchmen, right? Because if they go over there and find the same sorts of things or are able to make the same sorts of things, then we'll just be able to get them from other Englishmen. There'll be Englishmen in a new place, a colony. And we won't get them from other Europeans. This was a big deal. This was a very important argument. Aha! We go to America, we find stuff there, instead of buying it from Spain. Instead of buying it from Portugal. And so on. Okay, so we'll talk about tomorrow. Why was that such a big deal to them? That was the main reason for coming to America. And we will see that the first colony that actually succeeded in America was made for that reason. So we'll get to that story very shortly. All right. But that's good enough for today. Excellent. Thank you, everybody. So we'll talk more about planting colonies and so on and so forth starting tomorrow. Bye for now, folks.
Bye.
Bye.